Lots of conversation surrounding Elon Musk lately. I want to thank everyone who helped me. He responded to us that he was investigating my shadow ban, and it appears to be now gone. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So last Saturday on Twitter, owner Elon Musk made a brief but very abrupt announcement. Quote, if you were unfairly treated by your employer due to posting or liking something on this platform, we will fund your legal bill, he said. Well, we aren't optimistic about that actually going anywhere. But if it does, we know a great candidate to be one of the first beneficiaries, Alfredo Luna. Alfredo Luna is better known as the Alpha Warrior. He's a decorated Marine veteran and police officer with a perfect record whose life went in a radically new direction thanks to the totalitarian surveillance state crackdown after January 6th. We first profiled Luna 1 year ago when he came onto this program to describe a harrowing FBI raid that he suffered in the days after January 6th. Here's the quick version of the story in case you've forgotten. On January 16th, at 1 a.m. in the morning, Alfredo Luna and his family were awakened by an armed assault on their home. I mean, we're talking SWAT teams, armed FBI. There were a dozen red dots trained right on Alfredo's head, just waiting for him to make some wrong move or just accidentally stumble so they could blast his brains onto the wall right in front of his kids. Alfredo and his wife and his two teenage sons were hauled out into the nighttime air, while his two-month-old baby was left temporarily abandoned inside. So, of course, something had to justify this show of force, right? Did Alfredo Luna lead the charge into the Capitol building? Nope. Was he caught on camera the day before, going around telling everyone that they needed to charge into the Capitol? Oh, wait, no, that's what Ray Epps did. And now we're told that he's just fine for some reason. Did he leave pipe bombs outside of the headquarters of the RNC and DNC buildings? Nope. Nope, but the FBI still somehow has no suspect for that crime, even though they have them on camera and the entire deep state surveillance apparatus for finding them. Did Alfredo get up on a scaffold and give directions with a megaphone encouraging people to stream into the Capitol? Nope, that's the scaffold commander, and the FBI still somehow hasn't found him either. No, Alfredo Luna did none of these things. In fact, Alfredo Luna wasn't even in Washington on January 6th. So why was the FBI sending enough firepower to overthrow an African government to his house? Well, they decided that his Twitter account was, quote, potentially violent. Now, of course, there was nothing violent about Luna's tweet. It hadn't even been censored by Twitter, which was banning anything remotely sympathetic to Trump's January 6th at the time. But that didn't matter. The point was giving an outrageous show of force to look tough and to intimidate the general public. Oh, and to find thuggish illegal excuses to imprison Trump supporters. Using California's grossly abusive red flag law, the FBI and local police used Alfredo's potentially violent tweets as an excuse to tear up his home and even his children's rooms. They confiscated all of his guns, all of his electronics. They interrogated him about his politics, who he voted for, even after he demanded a lawyer. And when they found an AR-15 sitting unused in his home, the FBI decided to try and stick Luna in prison for it, when he had committed exactly zero crimes with that or any other gun, for that matter. But the story only got more outrageous, as Luna chronicled in a tweet thread last week that went massively viral with more than 2 million total impressions. Here's part of it. Quote, 2 years ago today, the FBI showed up to my house for a second time. They knew I had legal representation, but they made no attempt to contact my attorney or contact me prior to showing up at my home while I was fighting an active case against them. When I answered the door, they stated that they were there to return my electronic devices. FBI Special Agent Armenta and JTTF Rialto Police Detective Candias stayed in front of my walkway with my electronics still in their vehicle. I made this statement to them. You know the American people don't trust the FBI. Special Agent Armenta responded, why do you say that? I replied, you had an FBI director, Chris Wray, on national television under oath lie and state that he had not seen any evidence of Antifa or BLM at January 6th. Anyone with a phone or a tablet at minimum saw videos of BLM and Antifa member John Sullivan at the Capitol. Special Agent Armenta then said of Ray's lying, quote, well, of course he did. He couldn't say anything that helps Trump. Luna continues, quote, in case you're lost, an FBI agent told me that it's okay for the FBI to lie under oath as long as it's against their opponent. As soon as they left my home, I contacted my attorney to request the audio recording of that contact with the FBI. For 4 months, we requested that audio, and in December 2021, the Riverside County District Attorney's Office of California told us the FBI contacted them and said that there was no audio recording of that contact at my home. The FBI would have you believe that they went to the home of a J6 arrestee and did not record the contact in what they say is the DOJ's largest investigation in American history. Unquote. Luna ended that thread by profiling other lies told by the FBI during its arrest, investigation, and criminal case against him. He then issued a challenge. Does any conservative media dare air my story? Well, you know how we think at this show. There's absolutely no story that will be intimidated out of covering. If people say that we shouldn't cover something or can't, or that we have to hold a specific view about it, then we take that as a challenge. We're happy and honored to have Alfredo Luna join us once again. Alfredo, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. God bless you guys for having me, Stu.
So here we are. We're here to air the story. We're accepting your challenge. And so I think that it would only be fair for you to tell your story and what you want the American people to hear.
No, absolutely. You know, everybody wants to be like, I'm important. But in this situation, yeah, it may be my story, but it's one that's shared by hundreds and hundreds of Americans, not because they did anything to destroy this country or burn police departments with police officers still in like we saw during the Summer of Love. No, people are going through the persecution that I went through just because of where they stand politically. And if that's not bad enough in the process of this, what we're finding, it's not just the convictions. The process is the torture for all of us going through this. They will bankrupt you. They will make it impossible for you to get employment. They will give you the scarlet letter of J6 to walk around your community with. They will make an example out of you. So this way, no American will ever want to go and protest or regress their government if the government's doing something they shouldn't be doing, like we've seen with the elections. I want people to understand, these aren't just headlines. This is my story. This is my life. Long after this show is over, me and my family still have to find a way to survive this. And I'm not Superman, but I will walk this path if I have to. I just don't want it to be in vain. I just want to know the American people that if I got to go through this and I got to suffer, that it's for something, that they want change, they want exposure, and we're not going to let this happen to any other Americans.
What's the benchmark for success for this totalitarian deep state?
We need to get rid of all federal agencies. Just so people understand, I love the badge. I still support the badge. It is not without error. You know, the badge has really screwed the pooch the last few years. But you don't need federal agencies. I was on a task force. The only thing federal agencies bring to a task force is a pocketbook. That's it. They still rely on us for all the local investigations, for informants, for understanding the geographic area. We don't need them for that. We need to revise the entire law enforcement perspective of how we do policing in this country.
I used to, without prejudice, 100% back the blue. I can't do it anymore. You know, I mean, I'm here in Minneapolis. Last month or in June, whatever, this month of Pride, you have pedophiles in the street, naked, rubbing their genitalia in the faces of children, while protesters against that are being held back by cops who are protecting somebody who is openly committing a crime, lewd and lascivious actions, child molestation, criminal sexual conduct involving a minor child, indecent exposure. I mean, the list goes on of the crimes that they could be charged with. And if that kind of activity was happening anywhere else, you would expect that a police officer would arrest them. Cops running around enforcing mask mandates all over the place. You need to keep social distanced. What's really in your glass? Are you really drinking something, or are you just doing that to get away from wearing your mask? Hauling people out of schools where parents are protesting against transgender freak shows going into the bathroom and raping their kids, or protesting against critical race theory or any other Marxist nonsense that's in these prison-like indoctrination camps that parents call public schools. And so I'm watching cops haul people out of city council meetings and arrest them. I'm watching cops go door to door assisting the FBI as they arrest people like you when they should have said, "F off. I'm not helping you to arrest Alfredo Luna. That is tyranny, and I will not support it." And so now, as you have really good cops that are either leaving, or here in Minneapolis, they're using PTSD as an excuse to get out for an early medical retirement, because truly a lot of them probably do suffer as they were sitting there in the third precinct. Well, this Mayor Jacob Fry told them to abandon their own house and let it burn. Cops were still in the building when it was lit ablaze. They were going out. They were being shot at. I was there. I saw this thing unfold. And so now who are these cops, these good cops that are leaving voluntarily or being fired for the wrong think or PTSDing out? Who are they being replaced by? You have these candidates that are completely indoctrinated and woke. These are red-haired, you know, and tranny freak shows and liberal woke leftist communists that are now being hired. So the selection pool is filled with these trash applicants, and that's who's now on the street, quote unquote, policing your community to keep your kids safe. I mean, so I agree with your sentiment. I do respect the badge, but the badge is only respectable if the person that's behind it has some self-dignity and respect and will rightfully uphold the letter of the law as they swore to do. We don't have that country anymore. Do you agree?
I agree completely. And, you know, you accepted the challenge that I put out there, Stu, for any media to air my story. I have another challenge. This is for every man and woman that's wearing a badge. You say you go out there, you put that Velcro on, knowing that it may be the last time you even take a breath. It may be your last shift. And you say you'll die for your brothers and sisters. You say you have that kind of commitment to your oath. Well, recognize that oath, because everything that Stu just said that we are doing as law enforcement, it's wrong. It's beyond wrong. And if you can't expose it and you can't walk away from it, there's no longer this, "I don't know what's going on." You know what's going on. If you are a good cop, arrest the bad ones or turn in the badge. Because if you don't, you're just as bad as everyone doing it just because you're not.
On the north side of Minneapolis right now, which is a 99.5% African-American community, it's where the blacks live on the north side. The Hispanics live over on the south side, largely. And then you have Somalis that live. I mean, you know how it is in the hood. I mean, everybody kind of segregates to their own districts, their own boroughs, their own streets, their own blocks, their own neighborhoods. And so on the north side of Minneapolis, where is probably the most violent part of this desecrated city that we live in, this is where the good cops remain. And what are they doing? Are they jumping out on gangbangers with guns? No. Are they proactively policing and jumping out on suspicious behavior? No. Are they going after known drug dealers and traffickers? No. Right now, what they're doing is sitting underneath a shade tree, and they're stopping people for expired registration and handing out no proof of insurance tickets until they get their daily minimum or their monthly, and then they're done. They're checked out, taking a paycheck. You're not a cop when you're doing that. You are absolutely not a cop, and you need to go. And so what these guys are doing is saying, "Well, how do I provide for my family? Not my problem." But you know what you're doing, and you're doing it on purpose. And what's happening is the administrations are being replaced with these woke ideologues and these basically Marxist communists who are saying, "No, you're not going to go out and proactively police." The other side of that coin is every one of those cops that still is a good cop understands very clearly, if you are a white man wearing a badge and you get into an altercation with a black male or a female or a minority of any kind, even in the most justifiable use of force situations, and I'm just going to say it because we are a show about truth, even in the most justified use of force situation, if they use force, they will be persecuted, they will be fired, they will be prosecuted, not once, but probably twice or three times, because you'll have civil rights violations. You'll have your local police department and county attorney here or state attorneys general prosecuting them. You'll have the DOJ coming down on you, the FBI arresting you. You'll have Antifa and Black Lives Matter in your front yard. You'll be getting a divorce. You'll be completely bankrupt, just as you described that they're doing to you. Your house will be burned to the ground. Your neighborhood will be terrorized. That's what's going to happen. So I can't blame the street cops for not wanting to do their job, but unfortunately, that's what they have to do. And a unified police department or even one precinct or district or borough or unit can absolutely single-handedly stand up to a woke administration and say, "No, we will go and we will police." Do you agree?
I agree completely with that, Stu. You know, there's a lot of cops that say, you know, we get paid very well, but it's for that one moment, that use of force moment. But the one thing we've realized the last 3 years, it's not just for that moment anymore. It's for standing up against everything you just articulated. If you can't do that, you're not a cop. And you're right. Well, how am I going to feed my family? It doesn't matter. Are you really going to do this? Are you going to persecute other people so you can pay the rent? That's not how we operate. And people need to tell their cops when they see them, do what's right or walk away. And then, you know what, as a society, we deal with the issue if all the good cops walk away, then we figure it out.
What were the tweets that were supposedly violent in nature that Twitter, by the way, did not even censor?
The first one, yeah, none of them were censored by Twitter. The first one said that there's an evil taking over this country. I've been a combat Marine, a decorated combat Marine, a law enforcement veteran for 14 years. It's time to patriot the F up. Are you ready? I am. God wins. Freedom and family. And had a picture of Mel Gibson from the movie The Patriot, a picture of me working with the police department, and then a military picture is what it was. Now, in that tweet, I don't say the government, the DOJ, the FBI. I say there's an evil. So it's kind of like their self-acknowledgement that they're the evil in that. The next tweet was one that was dated 119. So it was this 1/19. And at the time, a lot of us thought that Trump was going to drop all the disclosure on election fraud that was taking place. Hindsight didn't happen. And then the next tweet was one of the Punisher skull with the Roman numeral 3 in it. And they questioned, they said, so you're a 3%er. I had never heard of the 3%ers at the time. I said, no, this is the Chris Kyle Punisher skull from the, you know, the sniper. And they're like, well, no, there's a Roman numeral 3 in there. I said, okay, well, I don't know what it means. So they go on to explain about 3% of the population, et cetera, to take over the country. I said, well, that's not why I put it. I go, we have this in our locker rooms and as cops. Like, I guarantee. And so I went on. This is interesting. The same investigation they did to me, I started doing it to them and found the Los Angeles's FBI team. Guess what patch they have on their uniform? The same damn patch that they said that I put on my profile was a 3% terrorist patch.
I worked as a bounty hunter for many, many years. And I worked alongside and a lot of times in cooperation with, and I'm gone now, so I can say this, with task forces that you are talking about. So when we had a barricaded man, for example, over on the south side of Minneapolis who had a rifle and we were holding a perimeter, the Minneapolis Police Department came there with their SWAT team. And then after 4 hours of, you know, really stern warnings on their PA system, they decided to leave. Nope, we're done with this. We're not doing anything else. They're going to leave an armed man with multiple felony warrants for violent offenses. We're talking about really bad violence, right? You know where he is. He is on the U.S. Marshals most wanted list. The U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force, to their credit, finally showed up. We held a perimeter with them all night long. And finally, the FBI showed up the following morning. And I got pictures of all of this, by the way. It was really amazing to see. After, you know, 30 hours of standing off in 90-degree weather, rain all night. Very dangerous, by the way. I mean, the guy's got rifles. He could have taken any one of us out that he wanted to. There's just really no sound tactical position to be in at that point. You're sitting ducks, but you're there. You're doing a job. You have to execute it. The FBI showed up. Took them about 30 seconds to go in and get this guy using one of Minneapolis PD's canines. No problem, no incident. And the guy's doing, I think, like 40 years in prison for that violence. You don't see that anymore. You're never going to see that. What you're going to see is the deterioration of the rule of law. And the only thing that's required, the one key ingredient that's required, along with censorship, for the recipe for authoritarianism, rather, is the absence of the rule of law. To instill communism or a one world governance or a new world order or an Agenda 2030 or a Great Reset or whatever name that you have for it, the end of freedom and liberty, two classes, the ruling class and the serfs, you have to have the absence of the rule of law, which is why we're seeing chaos in this country right now. The cops are just not doing their job. Part of them, I don't blame them, but they have to take a stand. And good cops know exactly what I'm talking about. I've got a few minutes left here and I want to continue our conversation. What's next for you now?
This month on the 25th, I go for a family settlement conference, which they know I'm not going to do any settling. So we're supposed to announce for trial readiness in the end of September, but we still haven't got all of the discovery. So, and I told my attorney, we are not going to have a day one of trial until we have all the discovery, but they won't give it to us. You know, they've lied. First, they said there was informant. Then they said it was an accident. They didn't mean a right informant. They meant anonymous party. It's just, as a matter of fact, that civil case, the gun violence protective order that started this whole thing with them, when they denied all of our motions, the motion to reduce it from a felony to a misdemeanor, the motion to reveal the identity of the informant, all these things are getting denied. So we're like, you know what? We're still going to the civil case and they're going to have to testify there. So we'll get them there. On our way to go to the civil case, the FBI contacts the DA. The DA contacts my attorney and says, hey, you guys still got to show up to court, but we're dismissing the case. So they rather run the chance of me suing them than to have these agents take the stand knowing that we know what questions to ask. That's how far they're willing to go to conceal what they've did in my case. And it to make things worse, to what you were speaking about right now, just a few moments ago, about 2.5 weeks after they arrested me, same county, you know, Riverside County, cops go and make a great arrest. You know, three gang members, notorious rap sheets, one's a parolee at large, stolen firearms, drugs. I mean, it was a good arrest. You can combine all three of their bails together with still less than the bail they gave me for a single weapons charge from a weapon that I had the right to possess. That's where we're at right now.
I'm interested in your opinion. You articulate yourself very well, and it seems like you're a very forward thinker, and that you're a critical thinker, and that you don't give a about what anybody thinks about your think. And so I'm interested to know what you think rights the ship in this country. What do you think it is that the American people have to do in order to regain the rule of law, to hold these people accountable? And I'm talking extreme accountability, by the way, extreme accountability for the people that have carried out this coup on our country and murdered so many. What do you think the American people need to do?
First thing they need to do is they need to grow a spine. You can't be worried about losing your job. You can't be worried about losing friendships. You can't be worried about losing your property, because if we don't win this, if we don't get our country back, we're losing all that stuff anyways. Like, people need to recognize that. If you think putting your head in the sand and riding this out until it gets better, it's not going to happen. It's either the majority of us get together and write this or we're not. And how does that start? One, we need to take control of our local governments, to include our schools. Because if we take control of our governments, but we don't take control of our schools, all this stuff is just going to get undone in the future anyways, because we're going to have kids that are propagandized. And we need to exhaust every legal measure we have. And once we've exhausted every legal measure we have, then the Constitution outlines what's next. And everybody's afraid to say it. We take our government and we remove them. That's not terrorists. That's what the Constitution says. It says you go through all these steps, and once they're done, if your government has become a tyrannical government, then there's only one way you change that.
You abolish it. Yes, you remove them. You replace them with a representative form of government. The Constitution is directing you. You would be derelict in your duties as an American if you allowed for a tyrannical government to oppress your God-given, inalienable, inherent rights. It's happening at every turn, at every level of our bureaucracy, from your city councils to your county commissioners, to your state's attorney general, to your congressional candidates and representatives, to your United States senators, state senators, the cops on the street, the administrations in your police departments and at your sheriff's offices. The buck stops with your sheriff. In many cases, you need to go and advise your sheriff, not ask permission, advise them what you're doing. You are forming a militia, which is not a bad word. It is to protect your friends, your family, your loved ones, and your neighbors, and your life, and your liberty, and your property, as directed by the Constitution. It is very clear, and I don't know why people are afraid to say it either. We have a f***ified country that is quickly going into an irrecoverable hole. And if we don't grab ourselves by the balls and have the testicular fortitude to do what the Constitution directs us to do, then we deserve to lose our country. And that's what's going to happen. And so we're praying for you. And, you know, listen, anything that we can do, you let us know. I'm not going to be in a foxhole with you, because that suggests that we're hiding somewhere waiting to get, you know, assaulted. No. I'll be next to you, forward charging. When you say go, let's go. Alfredo Luna, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you guys. Semper Fi.
The pandemic changed our world forever. Lies, murder, and heartless profiteering destroyed the sacred trust between a family and professionals in medicine. It also opened the door for true heroes to step up and restore confidence so we can handle anything the enemy throws at us. The Wellness Company has the solution, a protocol to ensure you are never tricked again. Get a medical emergency kit today. It includes life-saving ivermectin, a 12-tablet Z-Pak, and a comprehensive guide personally prepared by the Wellness Company's chief medical board on how to use this arc of healing. For under $300, you can secure your own pandemic protocol today, store it away, pay with your HSA. Go to pandemicprotocol.com right now to get your ultimate kit to win the fight against bronchitis, colitis, and even a bioweapon plague. Peace of mind for the unexpected. PandemicProtocol.com.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by Earth Echo Foods and their superfood product, Cacao Bliss. Cacao Bliss starts with 100% organic rare cacao beans and also contains turmeric, MCT oil, cinnamon, and Himalayan salt. These ingredients were carefully chosen to support health, longevity, healthy weight, and even your happiness. You'll fall in love with a truly guilt-free chocolate, help reduce your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, and combat inflammation with one delicious drink. It's gluten-free, by the way, also paleo, keto, and vegetarian diet friendly. You can receive an additional 15% off when you visit earthechofoods.com/stew and use discount code STEW. Today's Stu Peters Show and every Stu Peters Show is brought to you by Gold Co. These are the people that are helping to provide a hedge against hyperinflation and criminal taxation to protect you from the theft of your IRAs and your 401ks and everything that's in your checking accounts and everything that you've worked hard to save in your savings accounts, the things that you were wanting to pass on to your kids. Your financial stability is all at imminent risk, so physical gold and silver is a great way to protect yourself from all of the aforementioned. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. If you mention Stu Peters, guess what? You get up to $10,000 in free silver. What a blessing. 855-706-GOLD for Gold Co. Again, 855-706-GOLD. So for years, we've heard this propaganda about massive strides in South Africa since the end of apartheid. Well, now the lies are crumbling apart, just like South Africa itself. Here's the truth. If CRT was a country, it would be South Africa. In South Africa, jobs and government contracts are doled out based on race, handing wealth and status to those who are connected with the ruling ANC party's race racket rather than those who are actually the most capable or qualified. So the result is a state of collapse everywhere in that country. South Africa can't keep its lights on. Cape Town's water system is disintegrating. The country can't repair its roads. Its police are hopelessly ineffective and corrupt. And through all of this, it remains one of the most dangerous countries in the world. Now, rather than fixing these problems, political debate in South Africa revolves around issues like confiscating land from white farmers who know how to actually grow things, so that it can be given away to black farmers who don't know what the hell that they're doing. If you have any money at all in South Africa, you basically just have three options. First, you can flee the country for Australia or South America or Europe. Don't come here. Second, you could move into an armed compound with full-time security to protect you from the violent gangs who rule most of that country. Or third, you could just die. Hundreds of white South Africans are butchered every year, targeted by gangs and home invaders who don't just kill them, but oftentimes rape and torture them first. But it's not just the crime. Genocidal anti-white hatred is a feature of South African politics. The Economic Freedom Fighters are the third largest party in South Africa. They represent the radical left. Their demands include radical socialism, seizing wealth and property from whites, and even Julius Malema leading a crowd in a chant of the song Kill the Boer. The Boer, of course, is a white South African descended from the Dutch settlers 400 years ago. Here's an excerpt from the song, quote, "The cowards are scared, shoot, shoot. Shoot, shoot, the cowards are scared, shoot, shoot. Shoot, shoot, shoot the Boer. Shoot, shoot, shoot the Boer. Shoot, shoot." Fine poetry, isn't it? Yet the New York Times, in a recent article, explained that this song is just symbolic. That's from the same publication that says it's basically genocide to have a football team named the Washington Redskins or to have a statue of Thomas Jefferson in a public space. But a song that's basically just kill Whitey, shoot him over and over again is great, it turns out. Oh, and by the way, the EFF leader, Julius Malema, basically openly says that his plan is genocide. When people complained about party members singing the song, he called them crybabies. But he's also publicly said that the EFF will not shy away from killing if it has to. because they're a revolutionary party. And as he puts it, killing is part of the revolutionary act. South Africa is hurtling toward white genocide at warp speed. And the New York Times sits there seal clapping, cheering it on, and calling it symbolic. Lauren Witzke is the executive producer for this program, and she joins us now. Lauren, you've been looking into this. You know a lot about this. I mean, is that hitting the nail on the head? This is openly calling for genocide of whites.
Yes. And, you know, you had mentioned that if you have money, get out of the country. Well, guess what? They have been trying to get out, but Canada and Europe have been rejecting their application, their visa applications. They have nowhere to go, nowhere to run. Now, you know, I suggested that maybe we should bring those South African white farmers here and, you know, put them to work. They know what they're doing. However, they are limited on options because they aren't approving their visas, specifically not letting them leave their country while there is an open call for that genocide. Now, when Julius Malema had that stadium full of Marxists, they were chanting about killing the farmers. He called them crybabies if you addressed it. Now, could you imagine if we had done that here, you know, or if they had been against Black people, you know, calling for the genocide of Black people. I mean, it would be unheard of, and it would have actually been addressed. However, here in the United States, the New York Times weighed in saying, oh, it's not literal. We don't actually mean it. Well, what do you mean then? They're always going to let you know what they do before they do it. They are planning a mass genocide. Now, one of the biggest issues in all this that nobody is talking about is that recently they have been catching on footage these farm attacks that are happening. They have been equipped with the proper equipment to attack these farms successfully. So they are showing up with signal jammers. These signal jammers make it so nobody can call for help. It makes it so there is no way to get any kind of communication out there as a gang of 3 to 11 come and attack the farms. Now, these signal jammers are $20,000 a piece, and they are illegal in that country. So you cannot go ahead and just buy it at the store. You have to be given it to you. So this Communist Party, I believe that they are the ones who are equipping these farm attackers to attack these white farmers with the proper equipment. I mean, these are military grade signal jammers, and they are just ambushing homes. There was one instance where a mother was raped twice in front of both of her children. They forced the children to watch because the dad wasn't there. They came, they shot her. She was injured, and they threatened to rape the children. Now, these people are not human. These are not people that operate in any kind of compassion. They are demonic, Marxist, communists. And there was even an attorney in South Africa that claimed that Julius Malema has summoned some kind of hate demon. They believe it really is some kind of demon that they have summoned, and they are starting a movement there. Now, you think that it's South Africa. What does it have to do with me? Well, Bill de Blasio was trying to implement a racial policy that mimicked South Africa. It was a way we address social issues. Now, if it's happening there, it's going to happen here eventually. It's already becoming acceptable here to talk about it, according to the New York Times. It's not an issue. It's not literal. But we had an overthrow of our country in 2020. The communists won in 2020. They're telling us what the communists want to do. You think that is not going to come to the United States of America? Those same Marxists over there believe the same thing that the Marxists in our government office believe. And none of us will be spared. We know that there is anti-white hatred that's really rising up recently, and they're getting emboldened, and they're being covered for by the media. How much longer do we have to wait before that definitely comes here to the United States of America? You said it's like CRT. We're already teaching that in the schools. That same chant that he held calling for the white genocide of the farmers is the same kind of information that is being taught to children in schools. They are radicalizing an entire generation to believe the same things that these Marxists believe. And it's extremely concerning. And nobody's safe. They have nowhere to go. Where are we going to go when they turn on us too, when our own government turns on us?
Sorry to hear. Check out my Twitter account for some recent videos of what's happening in New York City under Bill de Blasio's leadership. This entire country is going to go in the way of New York City and Los Angeles. By the way, in California, they just passed a bill reducing sentencing for molesting kids for sodomy with, you know, minor children, which, by the way, is going to be legal very soon. Pedophilia is going to be legal in this country. The absence of the rule of law, burning down police departments, kicking in the windows of police cars, spitting in a cop's face. And guess who had it all right? Jason Aldean. Try that in a small town. You should absolutely pay attention to what's happening in South Africa because it is absolutely coming here. Lauren Witzke, you're an amazing researcher, and you put that together beautifully. I couldn't add anything to it. Thanks a lot for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu.
At some point, we've all been sold a big lie, including yours truly. It's called the protein lie. Starting in the 1980s, supplement companies began pushing massive protein consumption. We all believed that more protein equaled more muscle growth. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie. No surprise. Let's say that you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 40 grams of protein. However, just because something contains 40 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. No, without enzymes, most of it ends up in your toilet bowl. So if you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial that you take a high-quality enzyme. The one that I trust and use myself is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more proteins than any other commercially available, with 5 different kinds of proteins. You can try it today, risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. When you go to bioptimizers.com/stew, be sure to enter the coupon code STEWPETERS10 to get an extra 10% off of your order at bioptimizers.com/stew. If you have a child and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD, you've gone to the doctor and they are suggesting neurotoxins like Adderall and Ritalin and methylphenidate and clonidine because they are whores for big pharma and because they are poison pushers and fake doctors, please try something else before you destroy your kid's life potentially with all of the documented irreversible long-term side effects associated with all of the aforementioned. Please try CBD and please use the family-owned business that we do business with here. All the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Everything can be sourced. You're not going to get any poisons or toxic crap in your CBD like you will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STEW for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com. Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/stew and use promo code STEWPETERS10 for 10% off your first jar. I gotta tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/stew. Again, newtopia.com/stew. So this war in Ukraine is not going well for the globalists, to say the least. The military coup that was going to topple Vladimir Putin was a complete bust. Then, of course, this summer, the offensive that they spent all year hyping up has been an even bigger bust. It's gained almost no territory at all. Instead, it's just destroyed billions of dollars of American-financed equipment, along with, of course, costing thousands of Ukrainian lives and Russian. So in response, as always, Ukraine's government has to become even more thuggish. Chilean-American blogger Gonzalo Lira, was arrested by the Ukrainian government in May, you may remember this, on allegations of harboring pro-Russia sympathizers for posting a video critical of the government. Well, he reappeared online the other day after finally being released with this distressing tale of blackmail and show trials and physical torture. But then, immediately after posting his story and some videos online, Gonzalo Lira went dark again. And then, just as we feared, Ukraine announced that he had been rearrested. But it's not that simple. The announcement came from this tranny freak show.
There's a reason you haven't heard from Gonzalo Lira yet with his so-called attempts at asylum in Hungary. It's because the state security services, better known as the SBU, are some of the most talented and focused law enforcement agents across the globe.
So this pro-Ukraine American, originally named Michael John Cirillo, has now resurfaced as a tranny government official in Ukraine going by the anime Sarah Ashton Cirillo. You literally can't make this shit up anymore. It's obvious that this war is ultimately about forcing trannies on every country worldwide. Ramsey Paul is the host of the Ramsey Paul Show. Monday through Friday, you can view that show, and he joins us now. Ramsey, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, it's wonderful to be here. And that is crazy. Michael, he transitioned in 2019. He had a wife and children, and he goes by the name of Sarah now. And he's always been very left-wing. He was involved in Las Vegas, trying to get people infiltrate the Proud Boys and tie it to the GOP candidates. So this guy has always been a radical leftist extremist. And now he's over in Ukraine pushing this agenda. And it's amazing that Ukraine thinks this is a good look to have literally a transgender, some dude that is supporting an American citizen. Because not only is Gonzalo Lira from Chile, he's from America, he has a U.S. passport. They throwing him in jail, not for being a Russian spy, not for sabotage, but for just stating his mind, what he thinks. And they've thrown him into jail. But it's potentially a death sentence. It's 5 to 8 years hard labor, and he probably won't make it out. It's tragic. And you know what? The United States could get him out like that. Today, they could get him out. If Anthony Blinken wanted to, he could just pick up a phone and saying, this is outrageous. We want this man out. He's an American citizen. I may not agree with his politics, but you can't treat an American like this. And by the way, we're funding you, Zelensky. So the United States has the power to get him out, but we're not. Why? I would argue is because Anthony Blinken and the Biden regime, they're jealous. They're like, we wish we could do this in America. We wish we could put Stu Peters in prison, you know, for speaking out against us, or Ramsey Paul. I really think they wish they lived in that type of society where there's no First Amendment and the secret police can round you up. Hey, we're getting close. We're getting close.
So this guy, Michael, was a complete loser here in this country, left a wife and children to go mutilate his genitals and pretend to be a woman. And now, because he was a loser here with no sway, no authority, no position of power, he said, oh, I can go to Ukraine, become a government official, push transgenderism on everyone, and help to lock up dissidents to the authoritarian regime.
Right. That's protecting democracy. That's why we're there.
Yeah, of course. We're spreading democracy, just like we spread democracy in Iraq, just like we spread it in Libya and in Syria and in Afghanistan. We were spreading democracy, which, by the way, just means turning our heads the other way while warlords rape little boys. And it turns out that the Taliban would much prefer or the people of Afghanistan would much prefer the Taliban over the corruption that the United States brings. I mean, are we absolutely the most corrupt government on the face of the planet at this point? I mean, we're the world's bad guys now. I mean, it's become perfectly clear.
We are. And I'm an older guy. I'm 60 years old. And this is hard to see because we were always, I thought, the good guys. We weren't perfect. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we were for freedom, free speech, good moral values, Christianity. And now we have this transgender dude working for the Ukrainian government, helping them imprison an American journalist because an American journalist is saying things that the Zelensky dictator doesn't like. And by the way, Zelensky, I'm sure your audience knows, he's a dictator. He imprisons his political opposition. They have canceled an election. If you say something they don't like, they will arrest you. Orthodox churches have been shut down. He is a dictator that, by the way, my tax dollars and the audience, we're supporting this. Every week, there's another billion or 2 billion going to Ukraine. This is what is supporting this. And it doesn't have to be this way. The United States government could get Gonzalo out today, but they don't wish to.
So, yeah, you say that we're funding this, but really we're not. What we're funding is the enrichment of NGOs, the enrichment of Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and, you know, the fossils in the D.C. Beltway and Pfizer butt slut Lindsey Graham and all of his warmongering cronies. That's what they're doing. This is a money laundering operation where they're just siphoning all this cash off, right? I mean, that's what this is.
Big time. Big time. A lot of money to be made. A lot of people are getting rich. This isn't helping Americans. We don't have the money to spend on Ukraine.
Who is sitting at their dinner table, Ramsey Paul, saying, gosh, you know, I really wish that we could just, you know, come up with some more cash to send to Ukraine? Who gives a damn at all about this country?
Yeah, I tell in my video, I'm like a hillbilly now. I'm in the Ozarks. I'm in the Ozark Mountains. I'm in small towns. No one's talking about this. No one cares. Biden said in his speech, oh, across America, festooned across the nation are the Ukrainian flags. I haven't seen one in my area. Maybe in your area. I haven't seen one.
No, I don't. I used to see some from some, you know, nut job radicals that, you know, I mean, I'm in Minneapolis. So, of course, you know, I mean, there's Ukraine flags. But, you know, so what is really going on in Ukraine? I mean, this is a genocide that's being carried out at the hands of Zelensky. If you go to the Donbass, you see mass graves. That happened under Zelensky's watch, right?
Yeah, I have a friend. She's a supporter of my show. I met her. She was born in the Donbass. She is ethnically Russian. As I'm sure your viewers know, in the eastern Ukraine, they are ethnically Russians.
And they just want to be Russia. They just want to be Russia. This is a construct. Arbitrary borders set up by Lenin after the Color Revolution. I mean, they were just put there in this fake country and just told, yeah, now you're Ukraine. And by the way, where does Zelensky get all of his power from? How does he stay protected?
Yeah, through our government. And they voted on it. They voted. They had a referendum that they had, do you want to be independent, part of Ukraine or Russia? They voted they want to be part of Russia. And I know people say, oh, well, Putin, it was a rigged election. That's the only election, by the way, that could be rigged, I guess. But it's a rigged election. And so Elon Musk even said, I think it was last year, well, why don't we have the UN monitor election? Have another election. Let's go by the will of the people. Self-determination. Democracy, right? Oh, no. We can't do that. These people, they want to be part of Russian. They have a Russian language. This is their heritage. And the war didn't start last year. And I'm sure you guys know this. It started in 2014.
Yep.
When Victoria Nuland and the neocons, they did a coup, and there's been civil war been going on for the past 7 years. Thousands of people in Ukraine have been killed, civilians. And so it's been going on for quite a while. It's not like, if you watch the mainstream media, Putin just woke up one day and went crazy and decided to randomly invade a country. We have to stop him there. Otherwise, you know, he's going to invade France or something. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But this is just the stupid propaganda that has been pushed on the American people. And I hope people are starting to see through it.
Yeah, me too. Ramsey Paul, we really appreciate you coming. Hope you'll come back again sometime soon.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Putin just wakes up one day and decides to go be this warmongering criminal thug committing war crimes. But let's just remind everybody, Vladimir Putin, from where we sit, seems to be right now the one man standing between whatever this one world governance is that's coming at us and what's left of the free world. He sent in transport to get these ethnic Russians out. And what did this neo-Nazi Azov battalion do? They shot him in the back and they put him in mass graves and they burned their kids. These people are Nazis, literal Nazis, that we are funding. It has to stop immediately. More of the Stu Peters Show continues next. Everybody now knows that we live in an upside-down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously, it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries 2 fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires.
I'm going to fill this box here, and I'm going to try to replicate the indoor environment that most people face anywhere in the world today. The more energy efficient that we become, the more airtight that we make our houses, the more toxic it is for our environment. Our technology is vibrating the air at a rate of speed. Anything that is 0.001 microns or larger does not stand a chance in the presence of not only photocatalytic oxidation, but needlepoint negative ionization. We're sending out a ion wave that is going through walls, doors, floors, carpets, paddings, draperies, and it's synergistically vibrating the air, and it's going to drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance. Now, this is where you're going to come in. You can mop this matter, you can vacuum it, you can sweep it, but our technology is going to make sure that you're not continuously breathing this in.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com. Welcome back. So a simple Amish farmer was just arrested in Pennsylvania for selling guns, even though he broke no laws. How does that work exactly? Well, basically, like all Amish men, Reuben King's primary job is working a small family farm. But on the side, he has a second job, buying and selling firearms. Or he did, until federal agents swooped in and arrested him and had him convicted in federal court. Now he faces up to 5 years in prison. Sentencing is set for September 6th. King's crime is selling firearms without a federal license. Okay, but except there's no clear statutory requirement to have a license to sell off one's firearms. The law is completely vague, probably intentionally. Only certain guns require a license no matter what, but King wasn't selling those. He was just selling simple small arms. It's perfectly legal to sell those guns, including guns that are part of a large collection without a license. When does simple buying and selling become illegal gun trafficking? Well, there's no clear line. Just whatever the government feels like imposing on people. And this time, the government feels like pulverizing a dairy farmer who was otherwise not a threat at all. Well, of course, we would love to talk to Mr. King directly, but he's such a devout Amish man that he disagrees with even appearing on a video screen. So instead, we're joined by one of his local defenders, Chris Hume. Chris works with the Lancaster Patriot and is the author of the book Vote Christian, Biblical Principles for Voting, and he joins us now. Chris, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, thanks so much, Stu. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, and you just laid out this case pretty well. I mean, I want your listeners to understand what's going on here. I mean, here's a man who's selling rifles and shotguns, mainly to the Amish. I mean, these are hunting weapons, maybe personal defense. We're not even talking about handguns in this case. He's selling these small arms, these long guns. And what happened is the ATF agents, the Pennsylvania state troopers, went to him undercover. You had undercover police officers posing as a regular buyer, coming to Reuben King and buying a few arms. And then they take him to court and say, you know what? You don't have the right to do this. You can't sell these guns. You don't have a license. You've crossed, as you mentioned, this imaginary line. Now, the ATF, right, that agency that is tasked with managing the regulating firearms in America, they say you don't need a license to buy and sell firearms unless you're doing it with the principal motive of making a profit. Again, it's intentionally vague. And I think, Stu, it's vague so that they can target the people they want to, and then they can use the loopholes to let the people go that they don't want to go after. So in King's mind, he's a dairy farmer. He doesn't even keep exact data on all his gun sales. And, you know, in his mind, he says, well, I'm not doing this as a business. I'm not breaking the law. The ATF agents come to him and say, you might be breaking the law here. You might face prosecution. But there was no clear line, because there is no clear line. There's no clear line going from selling guns as a hobby to doing it as a business. And in this case, they targeted Reuben King, and he could spend 5 years in prison.
Who's the victim here?
Exactly. This is very similar to the case of Amos Miller, who's another Amish farmer here in Lancaster County, who ran afoul of the USDA food regulations. In that case, and in this case, there's no victim. There's no one bringing a charge against Reuben King saying, you know, someone purchased your gun and used it. And even in that case, of course, it wouldn't be Reuben King's fault.
Okay. So hold on. Let's back up here a little bit. So the ATF says you might be breaking the law. You might be prosecuted. Now they've prosecuted him. And so what prosecutor is saying that they think they have a case here? What exactly is the charge? What exactly is the case?
So the charge, Stu, is that he sold a firearm without a federal license.
But the statute doesn't say that he needs to have a license to do what he was doing. So, I mean, how can they, with something so flimsy, what is the real goal here? Actually, let's just get to that. Brass tacks, what are they really doing here?
Yeah, they want to they have confiscated all his weapons. So he had about 600 firearms. Now, he wasn't even selling all of those. The court documents say there are about 125 or so out for sale. They have confiscated all his weapons, and they want to lock him up. Now, whether they end up doing that, we'll see. But the charge, Stu, is selling firearms without a federal license. But the language is so vague that no one can know when they've crossed that line.
Okay, let's talk principality and motives. What is the Fed's motive for arresting him? Why do they want to seize his weapons? Do they not like him? Is he a conservative? Is he outspoken? Is he a dissident to the regime?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not an outspoken guy. I mean, most of the Amish lay low. I mean, this is a case, you look at Lancaster County and a lot of places throughout this country where people are just minding their own business, you know, and serving their neighbor. Again, we got to emphasize that. Reuben King here was serving his neighbor by selling these firearms. A lot of the Amish can't get firearms the typical route. They don't have photo ID. So he's serving his neighbors. He's selling firearms. And the federal government does not want that, Stu. I mean, we could probably come up with a lot of reasons why, but they want to come down hard on this guy because he's not following their loopholes. What we have, Stu, is we have a nation that is becoming a nation of loopholes and not righteous laws. And the federal government here, they've abandoned any sense of justice, any sense of morality, and they've adopted this idea of loopholes. So then when they want to target someone, here's a guy that is minding his own business, but he's not following their regulations. And probably part of that is money involved. You know, if they're going to regulate it, they're going to want money from it. And he's not, you know, bowing the knee to their system, and they don't like that.
Hmm. So what's he going to do? I mean, what are we asking people to do? We're a show of, you know, action here. So we're an action-based platform. How can we help? I mean, what is the underlying, the driving factor here?
Yeah, so Reuben King's attorney, I mean, he tried to get this indictment dismissed, basically saying, hey, there's no clear line here.
Should have been dismissed.
The judge said, you're right, there's no clear line, but we're not going to dismiss this anyway. We're still going to bring this to trial. A jury convicted King. A jury of his peers convicted him and said he has to give up 600 or so of his weapons. His lawyer tried to get that verdict vacated. The judge just released, no, we're not vacating this. We are going to sentencing. You know what? All your arguments about Second Amendment, they don't apply here. The Second Amendment does not protect your right to sell commercially. So in the end here, what we're facing is he could potentially be put away. If you want to help him, if you want to donate to Reuben King's cause, you can go to thelancasterpatriot.com/King. You can make a donation. Any news, we'll be putting it up. What's happening next? If Reuben King is sentenced, once he's sentenced, it appears he's going to be sentenced now. Once he's sentenced, his lawyer can appeal this and he can take this up. This could potentially go to the Supreme Court. At this point, that seems to be the only recourse to continue to appeal this so the Supreme Court can hear it. And the argument there would be that you can't regulate a Second Amendment right. And Justice Thomas has said, if you start to regulate the Second Amendment, you regulate these freedoms, it's no longer freedom. So that's where we're at. It's a pretty dark case. It's a case of the federal government. Really, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, can wicked rulers be aligned with the Lord, those who frame injustice by statute? And that is what we have right now. We have wicked rulers who are framing injustice by statute. And it always ends up hurting the little guy. It hurts the guy who's trying to serve his neighbor, who's trying to put food on the table for his family. It doesn't hurt the big, you know, the big corporations. It hurts people like Reuben King or like Amos Miller in the USDA case. They're providing for their neighbors. But the federal government wants to be the nanny state. They want to control things. They want to regulate it. And you can't have a guy exercising freedom. Stu, I think that's the ultimate motive here, that if you have people who are self-governed, who are serving their neighbor, the federal government does not want that. We have statism in America. It's the idea that the government is supreme. The government is God. And that's infected the American mind. And the highest law becomes man's regulation. So I think, real quick, Stu, that, you know, the real problem here at the heart of this problem is the ATF agents and the police officers, the state troopers who would go into a man's, you know, residence, pose, you know, as undercover police officers to get this guy locked up. As long as we have men in America willing to do things like that, violating the higher law, the moral law of God, in order to enforce, well, I'm just doing what I was told. I'm just following orders. And that's what we have in America, people who are following orders to enforce statism and man-made law.
Couldn't have said it better. Chris Hume, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Stu.
Yeah, of course. Reuben King is not a one-off, by the way, just so everybody understands that. I mean, this is the ultimate goal for every single gun owner, everybody that wants to be ungovernable, everybody who wants to live off the land, be self-sufficient. This is exactly what they need to crack down on, because if you do that, you don't need them. If you don't need them, you stop paying them. If you stop paying them, you're not funding your own demise. They can't declare forever wars and siphon off, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars from, you know, say Ukraine. They can't enforce mask mandates or roll out poisonous vaccines and make you, you know, get your kids injected before they're allowed to go to school or before they're allowed to attend college, before you're allowed to continue to keep your job, by the way, to provide for your family. See, that's all just a sick cycle. We live under the empire of lies, an illegitimate authoritarian regime. We do not have a representative government. We have a weaponized crime syndicate, a murderous regime that is after you and your kids. Don't you dare protect yourself with firearms. Don't you dare try to sell anything. We'll be right back. When all of this COVID tyranny began, one man saw early on what would happen if people didn't stand up for their God-given rights. Supporter and sponsor of this show, Christopher Key, took the school boards to demand that our kids be unmasked and free. He's leading the charge to take America back. He confronts corrupt corporations and fraud pharmacists through peaceful protests, providing supplements like IGF-1 and his pain and energy chips, and mobilizing activism to take down tyranny. Visit vaccine-police.com to stay informed on upcoming activism and products to keep your loved ones safe. That's vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com. Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place, and then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.